that created the members of parliament, the different opposition parties, and the African National Congress, which is the ruling party, who have all said that the money that they are getting is not enough. You need more. But it's a useless exercise to say somebody must get more money, only to find that he doesn't have kids. He's got four kids, he can't choose the money. It's a useless exercise. So we want to do it such that when we say it must go, it goes and it gets used, specifically for the people that it was meant for. I'm talking two things. You must have capacity to use it. Secondly, there must be no corrupt tendencies. That's because of a lot of money. Some of it was going to hide there, to all sorts of things. So, we are doing this on the budget day, but I'm not sure whether we're late for this budget. But we have told them that you need more money, and people have agreed with us. That's why we were very happy when the media specifically, the media guided, said, who Department of Science and Technology is doing well. So we're hoping that they'll listen to us when we say they must give you more money. But ours is not to assist to get more money. Ours is to do the oversight and see whether the money that you get gets sent to where it's supposed to be sent. So with those few words, I think I've been long today, unfortunately, but I thought it was necessary because of maybe for the first time, and maybe it's because I'm very fresh coming from home. I've been eating real natural food, like Ukasukas is very fresh. We're coming from rural areas. We're not like the boys that we're eating chickens from all the kinds of things. Our chickens, we get them from rural areas, so we're stronger than them. We change them from farm. So we're not stronger than the women, boy. So we are fresh. You can see, it comes to the very strong Israel coming from rural area. So we welcome everybody, welcome members. And it's only ASB leaders that are here. I don't see the opposition party, but we'll be waiting for them. I think some of them have apologized, but some of them are going to be joining us. Welcome, Secretary, led by Shanaz. I've seen you for the first time since last year. I'm seeing Rene and Hilda for the first time. Welcome. I see there's the uniform. I hate a lot of uniforms. That's the beginning part. I've seen our lady, the AIDS lady. Where is she sitting now? From Kurman. And she stopped the territory. The road has been now. The road has been built, so no school. There's schooling in Kurman. So welcome everybody. The two days of that, welcome. We met on the train. He sits in the first seat of the plane. He doesn't forget the plane. I thought he was sitting there because he wants to bring innovations and tell you that they've been asking for money every day. Now he wants to bring some innovations. And I heard that there's some innovations that he will be very expensive. Maybe it's because he sits in front of him, he has some money. Welcome to your team. I met both of them and at the office, and I was trying to go into the session. I was sitting with them there, and they told me how to go into the session. So thank you for your advice. And it was counting. So I had to be there. There's another kidney for more of us. He's even worse because he confused the customer charge. And he doesn't want the one to come with the customer to pay that. So welcome everybody. I'm sure we can start our meeting. If there's nothing, members, you can allow me to ask you to lead us in telling us. Okay, senses.
Before the Kafir comes in. Now, I just want to say, from last meeting, there was that accolade that was to the committee and department by honorable members. And Dr. Kwanoff, as I said, probably is in the train industry. He came to me in the house to say, no, I hope they don't remove me from this committee. I love it so much. So I think the department is doing something very good, and I think they're following suit to doing something very good. And praise to Charlotte and the entire team was friends at the meeting to actually reiterate that. So that you represented you very well with the chair.
Thank you very much. And there's something that I've noticed, I'm not aware that I've noticed that there's a lot of masakos who are up there. Everywhere you talk about going to the moon, there's a masako, everything there's a masako. So we're lucky to have a masako here. It is with a bit of all that for me. Thank you very much. Let's give over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair, honorable members, for giving us an opportunity. We take note of the delays that you have raised, Chair. Also, I think on our side, trying to be proactive. I am aware that, for instance, at the moment, we've got a schedule of meetings that we will be having with the portfolio committee. That will also help, because we can prepare the documentation for the forthcoming meetings early enough, and we'll probably get better on our side as well. So it's not only something that the committee should worry about, we'll also do our best on our side to do this. And then just to reassure you that we are trying our level best not to take the fact that we're doing okay in the department. We will be presenting soon the strategic plan of the department for the 5 years. You'll find it quite interesting in terms of how we're positioning the work of the department towards some of the big challenges that the country has. And on Monday, Tuesday, we had a strategy plan, and the minister is in the document that she's happy. So we look forward to that engagement. So I will try then, I'm not sure, Chair, what they want me to do. Second quarter, finish it, take questions, and then do the third quarter. You want me to do both, and then take questions for both of them. I'm flexible.
You want to answer that?
I want to propose that both of them, because my time, the other one,
yes.
You know, the grants into the next one.
Okay. One of the things we don't have on this presentation is we've asked ourselves that if we were receiving these presentations, we could probably ask a couple of questions. You will see on the both presentations that the targets that have been achieved are of the order of 10-15% by the end of the second and third quarter. So the question that raises is, why is it that we haven't, for instance, achieved 50 or 60% of the targets by the second and third quarter? And I'll ask David to speak to that. But it's essentially the fact that our targets tend to be annual targets, and therefore it's not, even though we've got quarterly milestones that we report on, the actual target is achieved at the end of the fourth quarter. So that's one of the reasons. And then we've looked at the ones that we end up being red. The ones that are not achieved at all, what can we learn from? Why do we have a few that we never achieve? So again, David will share with the committee lessons that we are learning in both the formulation of the indicators and targets, and how over time we try and engage with the products to try and make sure that we minimize the setting targets that we never meet. And I've invited us Mboneli Moofe from Program 2 to share at a program level some of the lessons that he has learned. And then the third high level comment that we'll also talk about at the end is, what do we do on the targets that agree that we are managing towards achieving the targets? What is it that we do internally in this department to try and mitigate some of the challenges? So what I hope to do then in each of the two presentations is just give you some challenges or specific indicators, and then achievement per program, and then some financial performance of where we are. I apologize, we picked up about two errors on the slides that were sent to you, which were subsequently corrected with David, and you will see that, and you will be able to highlight those as we go along. So the mandate of the department, as we have said before, we can go quickly through this, is that we would like to remember that our mandate is derived from the White Paper of 1996. And one of the concepts that were introduced there was this concept of a national system of innovation. There are different arguments as to whether we have one or whether we don't have, but it's an ideal for which we would like to strive towards. And then the bottom bullet tries to explain that we need to have institutions, organizations, and policies that interact constructively in the pursuit of a common set of social and economic goals and objectives. Now, one of the things that we are trying to do to make sure we achieve this resilience, I'm very excited, Chair, that this morning I was reading a document of the Industrial Policy Action Plan of the Department of Trade and Industry. And if you read the document, you'll find that there is a section now on science, technology, and innovation, and how it's going to play a very important role in driving the diversification of the economy. So again, we are delighted that some of the work of the department is beginning to be linked to the departments that are driving the economy. In the staff plan that we'll be sharing with you, we'll be sharing a range of initiatives that are driven by one of the programs, where we are trying to work very closely with municipalities to try and provide them with technology solutions for decision making, and we're extremely delighted about that. We're extremely delighted that this program will be sharing with you the work that we are doing in support of the Comprehensive Rural Development Program that is driven by the Department of Rural Development and Gender Reform. So maybe we are moving towards this ideal, and then of course we're getting sector innovation funds, which are instruments that we are using to bring the private sector close to the work that the department is doing. But as I said, that's a presentation for another day. We are guided by the National Research and Development Strategy and the 10-year Innovation Plan. And as you know, the larger documents are trying to see whether we can move into an economy that is really derived from knowledge. And then hopefully we'll get a better contribution of science, technology, and innovation for social economic development. The vision, which has been changed, but still remains the same, to create a prosperous society that derives enduring and critical benefits from science and technology, and to develop, coordinate those NSI that will bring about maximum human capital, sustainable economic development. So the objectives of the department is, one, to enhance our ability to generate knowledge, to have the capacity that translate knowledge into products and services, innovation capacity, and make sure that we have adequate human capital for the system. We need to make sure that there is sufficient infrastructure for science, technology, and innovation. And then, of course, we can't do this alone. We have to continuously make sure that we are a strategic international research, development, and innovation partner and destination. SKA is one example. I think in 2 weeks' time, as a result of the SKA, we have a huge investment by Cisco, who will be investing in South Africa. I think 2 weeks ago, we also had a huge investment by IBM setting up a facility at the University of Witwatersrand. So we are moving in this direction. And then later, we will be coming to share with you the program that has been developed by our colleagues in ICR on work that relates to our engagement in the rest of the continent and specific targets that we hope to achieve in that domain. We are directly in support of some outcomes of this government, outcome 2, outcome 4, outcome 5, outcome 6, 7, and 10. So we are structured in these five programs in the department. The first program is the administration, technology innovation, which is program 2, research development and support, which is program 4, socio-economic innovation partnership is program 5, and then international corporate resources is program 3. And you can see that all of these are aligned to 5 key areas that we set beyond the department. So the purpose of the administration is to conduct the overall management and admin of the department. Program 2 is to enable research and development in strategic and emerging focus areas, to promote the realization of commercial products, processes, and services from research and providing and enabling policies from the funding. Program 3 is aiming to develop, promote and manage international relationships, opportunities and cyber technology agreements that strengthen the national system of innovation, and so doing enable an exchange of knowledge, capacity and resources between South Africa and the regional and the international countries. And then program 4 is one that enables an environment for research and knowledge production that promotes strategic development of certain basic areas and knowledge areas through science promotion, human capital, provision of research infrastructure, and relevant research support. Then program 5 enhances the growth and development priorities of government through targeted science and technology-based innovation interventions and development of strategic partnerships with other government departments, industry research institutions, and communities. So for this quarter 2, again, this take on quarter in the heading, 65 output targets were the total, and then out of 65 targets that are for 14-15. In the second quarter, we were close to 69% of these targets achieved, and the figure here shows that we had 9% of the targets achieved, moderate risk 32%, and then of course 69%. So yeah, we just want to give some highlights of some of the challenges that we are having. We are still not at 100% in terms of paying suppliers within 30 days. There are two major challenges that we are facing in this. We tend to pay, I think, around 99%. We are worried about the 1%. And the 1% challenge is, one, we find that we get information of our suppliers on our day-to-day. And at the time when we have to pay them, we find that the information that they've supplied is not correct. For example, sometimes the tax certificate has expired, and maybe even in filling the invoice there's something wrong. And then the second one is an internal process where sometimes in the way that
Thank you.
went to the Kenyan and put it on and then try to sleep together. Instead of putting it on, then try to sleep before the gate, waiting for the gate. He didn't know how we were going to do it.
Thanks, Chair. We're back online. This unit didn't have the power, so we connected here. Apologies. So, just going through the challenges of suppliers, but we are working fairly closely now within the department to ensure that when the service is provided and we are contracted with small medium enterprise, we then try and verify the information whilst the service is being provided. And then internally, we are developing a tracking system that says if a unit that has received or a program that has received a service, somebody's kit is on leave, can we find a way in which we can use the IT system that will tell us that a signature which was required in a particular program, that somebody is sitting with this so we can have an early warning system. But as I say, we tend to pay about 96%, but we still worried about 4.5%. And then the one below on the three policy instruments, this is the one that I indicated in the opening remarks that it was shown as red in the slides that we sent to you. And the reason is that it was a mistake, because the fact that in the second quarter we have not finalized the human capital development strategy doesn't mean that it will not be finished by the end of the year. It's just that there were delays internally to approve that. So red would mean that you never achieve it, whereas yellow means that there is work that is being done, and in fact I've been told that this has now been signed off by the minister, some of the delays that we've had. So we should be able in the last quarter to have done this. This is another area where maybe in formulating the targets we're not aware that the challenge is around this area where we're working with a private company on developing the rocket system. Will have more challenges than they have realized. So this one is at moderate risk, perhaps even on the risk of where we will probably meet half of the target in this area. The aircraft antenna, or by the 30th of September, we have not have the antenna. You all know that the challenges were around the manufacturer and the structure we had. I have had a conversation with both the DDG responsible for this as well as Dr. Panerov. They're telling us that the second antenna is now on site. The third and the fourth antenna, what we have done with, of course, the SKA project office is to make sure that we are able to go to the site in Kempton Park to see whether the dishes are being manufactured, even if they are not yet on site. And they're telling me that the four dishes will be on site by the end of March. As I say, the second one now is already on site. So we think that we should be able to meet this target. They're telling me that we might be 1 week or 2 weeks today, which is not bad for a project of this nature. By the way, the Deputy President will be visiting the site this weekend, so don't be surprised if you see a little bit of the approval of the Antarctic and Marine Research, we are managing this very, very tightly because this is a strategy that we'd like to develop in consultation, very close consultation with the Department of Environmental Affairs. And sometimes the interaction between the two departments are not as ideal, but we're working hard to make sure that we deliver on this. And then the process of finalizing the microwave land strategy for astronomy, we think we'll be able to finish this. This is a strategy which we have put together to make sure that all aspects of astronomy speak to each other, because as you know, that there is radio astronomy, which is the SKA in the far right of the wavelength spectrum, and then we are working with our colleagues in Namibia on gamma rays and the telescopes that they have there. And the bidding process that they are having now for the Cherenkov telescope, and then of course we have our own SALT, which is in the optical. So one is to have an overarching document that says how will this region drive aspects of multi-wavelength astronomy. We are working very, very hard to make sure that the number of students that we fund are all funded. Last year we found that there were a few number of students that didn't receive support, but we're working across the programs of the department to make sure that we meet this target. So I will not spend a lot of time on these targets, which we believe are of course, but this just gives you a flavor of the targets that we are managing very, very tightly, and we are almost confident that these will be some of the targets that have been achieved. So if I now go into highlights of each of the programs, starting with program two, we have been working fairly closely in developing a framework for commercializing ideas from research. And we needed to consult with the stakeholders, but we are extremely happy that this document has now been approved by the executive. We presented it to the minister, and we will now be engaging with our colleagues from BDI and economic development, because what we'd like to do here is to make sure that the work that we do, because it doesn't go sometimes into full industrialization, because the funds that are required for pilot plants or industrialization are much larger than the budget we have, we need to be formulating strategic partnerships with the Department of Trade and Industry, as well as the Economic Development, because they oversee, for instance, the economic competitiveness package budgets that are larger than us, as well as they are overseeing the Industrial Development Corporation. There were consultation on the World Intellectual Property Organization initiative called the Technology and Innovation Support Center, which are being implemented locally with the National Intellectual Property Management Office, as well as companies and Intellectual Property Commission, on how better we can get lessons learned on how we manage intellectual property within the White House framework, and also what are the courses that we need to be, I think we usually have a summer school once every year, so I think we're delighted about this. As part of the standby prospecting permit application process for skin tone and cavity products, the access and beneficiary agreement was signed between the consortium that is developing these cosmeceuticals and community Fukundamarazi in the Eastern. This is a very important milestone, because we want to make sure that the indigenous knowledge that came from the community in Kudamagazi in the Eastern Cape, they benefit from the commercialization of this skin tone candidate product that we are in the process of commercializing. So, very good story. And then the Emerging Industries Action Plan, as you know, we set out a program to new areas of research and development that can lead into a new set of industries. So that's what the Emerging Industries Innovation Plan is. So we've had meetings with outside stakeholders in terms of reference for AAP. We're in development stages during this period, but I'm happy, as I say, to say now that if you read the Industrial Policy Action Plan, you'll find very strong component of this work in the Industrial Policy Action Plan. We've also been asking ourselves around some of the emerging research areas, such as the nanotechnology area, which is beginning to make very significant inroads into the work of the science system, as to whether we should still consider it as a main area or whether we should consider it as a semi-mature area. So we finalize this, and then the requirement to present to the nanotechnology health and safety program platform in the code of conduct policy documents. This is our interest. As you know, with the nanotechnology, there is a feeling that because you're working with such small 10 to the minus 9 level products or research, you need to know that you're doing it in a safe and healthy environment, and you don't create damage to the environment. So having a framework within which this is done is extremely important, as we have learned from other partners in the OECD. Therefore, program two, we think that we are, of course, in getting the 285 innovation supported interventions developed in the strategic areas. Number of oversight instruments developed to review. This is an area where we are really putting a lot of effort in the department to make sure that the entities that report to the Minister of Science and Technology have strong oversight framework with them, because we don't want a situation where we suddenly find that a public entity doesn't have funds, or the funds are not being utilized properly, or they are not responding to the broader set of challenges that the minister is expecting from the entity. So we are developing capacities better oversee these entities. In this case, the Space Agency is overseen by this program and the Technology Innovation Agency. You know that last year we shared maybe this committee control on the results of the review that was done to reorient the Technology Innovation Agency, because we felt that it wasn't really driving the kind of direction that we wanted. We will be, even the Space Agency, engaging with them, because one of the concerns we have is that after they were formulated, that we haven't had any dialogue around the role of the Space Agency vis-a-vis other role players in the Space Agency. So we will again, during this new year, come with a set of way in which we think we can reorient the Space Agency much, much better. In Program 3, the international cooperation, we had a bilateral workshop between ourselves and our colleagues in Taiwan and some of these areas. As you know, this country has done very well in using science and technology for socio-economic development, so we'd like to continue to work with them under the One China policy chair. You had a discussion before, and we've been able to find a happy medium that doesn't undermine, I think, that international relations framework within ourselves and them. In the area of hydrogen and fuel cell, we had a dedicated workshop with the Republic of Korea, because we believe it's a very strategic partner that we need to work with as they move into this area and as they perhaps, like everyone else, looking at how best you can incorporate some of these hydrogen and fuel cell technologies into motor cars. And we think that because of the large expertise that they have in this area, to be strategic for us to partner with them. With the United Kingdom, we are extremely happy about the announcement of this new fund, which was announced between our minister and Mr. Dabridge of the United Kingdom, and we will be strengthening through the institutions that work with us, the relationship with them. We are excited that two of our scientists, South African scientists, were elected to high-level body of the International Council for Science at a meeting, General Assembly, that was held in New Zealand. I think Professor Reddy has been appointed as the president, and somebody was shadow delivering one of the structures. Thanks so much. And then we have a relationship that we are strengthening with a network in Europe called Eureka, which is a leading program for market-oriented research, where we now have a formal arrangement with them, and I apologize, we should have put a comma at the end of the sentence. And then as you see that one of the projects that are going to be involved includes the participation of MINTEC and the South African mining industry in the strategic domain of water innovation in the mining industry. We also have had multilateral engagements which included our leadership movement that is currently that we are hosting, I think, this year, the course or workshop for mineral processing and the techniques of how you do this, and this has been shared with the members of the Nine Alive movement. So again, in Program 3, these are some of the targets that have been achieved, some of the targets that we think are, of course, to be achieved. On the regional and continental initiatives, we think we'll be able to make this. And then on the research and student participation, where we send students to a number of bilateral relationship arrangements that we have with a number of countries. In Program 4, in the research development and support, we are happy that we, in partnership with the Motong African Heritage Trust, Accounting Department of Agriculture, City of Tuan, and NISA, celebrate Indigenous Science and Heritage on the 30th of September. We had a group that had visited to the Netherlands and Belgium in July to look at understanding what this idea of big data is all about, because everyone talks about it, but we wanted to really get a better understanding of what it is. In the Netherlands, they've already partnered with IBM, I think, to look at how they can use the data that is coming out of their low frequency array, LOFA, and how this can be used to get a better understanding of data management processing, and how it can then be used in the daily life. So as a result of that, peer collaborative opportunities have been identified that can reduce the lag in big data in South Africa, so we're not left behind, not only within science applications, which would be mainly in astronomy area, but also we are aware that in the climate change work and in the bio informatics work, all of these require the handling of data for scientific applications. But there are there's a need to have enabling policies, procedures, and standards, but we're also looking at how we can exploit this big data for socio-economic outcomes. 2 weeks ago, we had a discussion with our colleagues at Telkom. The CEO of Telkom is very interested in partnering with the department and the institutions around how Telkom can benefit from this. And as I say, on the multi-work, there's a strong thing we are moving in that area. The science engagement strategy implementation plan was completed, and then, of course, this was done in consultation with the South African Agency for Science and Technology Advancement, SASTA, the NRF. And then I'd already talked about the first half of the implementation of the ACD study, which has not been completed. You will be with Thomas Perez when he comes and presents the work of Program 4, get a very interesting analysis of our autonomy outputs, that was done by Center for Research, Evaluation, Science and Technology. This is a very interesting report that shows that the outputs in research in this area of astronomy is beginning to be on par with some centers abroad, and it's beginning to show that because of the investments we are making in astronomy, we're getting at least a scientific return in terms of the outputs that are happening. We are looking at how we can, we need to look at the NRF Act, and we'll be coming to present this to the committee in the new year, around how perhaps we need to be thinking on a number of things. One of them is that this organization that I showed in the previous slide, the South African Agency, it's not actually mandated by the NRF Act to be part of the NRF. And we think if we want to have an agency that helps us in the public engagement, which is one of the things that we all agree needs to be done, we need to be looking at how best it's resourced and how best it's managed within the NRF. That's one of the things that we'd like to do for research, but we will come in and present some of the drivers for the proposal to amend the NRF Act. We are excited that in this period the minister approved the development of three new centers of excellence, the one in HIV and AIDS, water research and human settlements. This is in line with the challenges we have in the country. You all are aware that the savings that we have made on the research chair's budget has allowed us to have, with the NRF, enough money to dedicate the 20 new research chairs that will be available from the savings and the ones that were not filled for the appointment of female South African citizens and permanent residents, because we are all agreeing that we need to start the program of transforming. So this would be a very nice signaling instrument that the minister has proposed. We also want to work with the human and social sciences group, and we have been lobbying them and inviting them to participate in the South African Research Roadmap and the National Integrated Cyber Infrastructure System Roadmap and Big Data, because sometimes we tend to neglect their human and social sciences, and in our engagement with them, they've shared with us that, for instance, to do longitudinal studies require databases and requires an infrastructure that is not like small isolated research equipment, and therefore we've been trying to engage them to make sure that this infrastructure roadmap for the country for the next 10 years and the cyber infrastructure, it includes the work that the social sciences and humanities need. So again, we think we are on course on meeting the target of the postgraduate students that we support with think we would really target on the 30 infrastructure grants that are awarded. We think we would be of course in making sure that the bandwidth capacity available within our SANREN is achieved. Number of researchers awarded grant research to NRF, and the STEM promotion and engagement strategy. We think, as I said, the draft is the strategy is finalized, the implementation plan. We think we will finish by the end of the year. On program five, this is a very interesting program that, as I said, we are developing or we are executing in partnership with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. And then the Department of Science and Technology, through the partnership we have with CSIR, is developing and piloting the corrective action request and report system, CARS. What this is an incident management system that will allow citizens, if they have a problem, to report this incident through this system, and this will electronically be sent to the municipal officials who might then be able to take the corrective action in some of the areas. And sometimes it's a simple solution, and these days that people can even have a mobile system where they can log the report. In certain instances, as we develop this, we think as time goes on, and we've got a conversation with the CSIR about developing a system where you will have a report, but if you've designed a system in certain instances that can generate into an action which can be done online, maybe some of the things can be done on that. So this is something around smart infrastructure. So this is a start of that, and then we'll be going to phase two and phase three. This is an example of what I talked about, where we're trying to really have work in support of municipal challenges that we have. We continue in supporting the beneficiation of our floor spot through the development of this multi-purpose fluorination plant and producing some small components of these fluorine-based chemicals at the Nuclear Energy Corporation of South Africa. In the next 2 to 3 years, we think we'll be fairly close to developing specialized commercial plan for some of the high volume chemicals that we think are needed in the commercial space. We are continuing with our work in partnership with the Department of Basic Education and the HSRC to look at integrating ICT in basic education. And as you know, this is the work that we're piloting in Southern Barbara in this decade. So again, we think that of course in getting the knowledge products that we would like to have in the area of socio-economic partnership, and then we also think we are on course in the patents, prototypes, technology transfer packages that we have set out for this. So this is just to remind the committee on how our budget is split. So program four, which is the human capital and knowledge services or research development support, bulk of the money goes to the National Research Foundation, and then program three, the international cooperation, has got 1.8% of the budget. Program two, just under a billion. Program five, 1.5, and then program one, 1.5%. This is how it's classified in terms of the treasury classification, again confirming that approximately 92% of our budget goes to the entities that report. And this just shows you that by the end of this quarter we had spent about 56% of the budget, and we think this is in line with just over 50% by the end of the second quarter. This is just to show you where we were in terms of each of the programs that I've shared with the members. So in conclusion, that we're still committing ourselves to continuous improvement and making sure that we track these targets as fairly rigorous as we can. So with those few words, Chairperson, I'd like to end this, and if you are then in agreement with me, I will then move to the third quarter report where
Gracias.
I thought you were not going to mention the event because it's so
Chair, with your permission, the first set of slides are the same as the previous one, so I will not go through them. With your permission, show the DST programs, the purpose of each of the programs, which is similar to the previous one, and this shows that we are on course to get 6% of these targets. Whilst we have achieved 10, there's a moderate at risk of not achieving 26%, but we're working on those, and 3%. So what we thought we would do at this presentation, which is the first one that I'd like to spend a bit more time, is just to show you the evolution of how we manage this on a quarter by quarter. You see that on the first quarter, we'd achieved 3%, in the second quarter 9%, and now 15%. In terms of the ones that are on course, you can see we're sitting at 68, 69, and then 69, because we have more that we have. Then again, we are managing tightly as the 26% that is on the case. Again, it shows how many were not achieved, how many had moderate risk, and how many are likely to be achieved. So we have 7 innovation support interventions developed and supported in key strategic areas, which is the work that the National Intellectual Property Management Office. So this was not achieved by the quarter. Dr. Mullen can talk about this in much more detail. And then 4 policy instruments, one that we are working hard on is the one of engaging with our colleagues in the space agency at DINEL, as well as the one for health implementation. The STI funds, we are working very, very closely in making sure that we secure these funds. Within our international, we think we'll be able to meet this, but maybe not because of the funding situation that is happening in the rest of the continent. And then we have not been able to get the 2 regional, continental and global initiatives that are led by South Africa. We're supposed to have met 2. We haven't met this because of the challenges within the SADC TI. The number of STI funds again secured for knowledge production, we will work around this, but this is, as I was said, becoming a rather big challenge across the entire portfolio of the work that we have done. And then the colleagues in program 3 indicate that we will not be able to meet at least the target because we're hoping we have 2 of these engagements with multinational organizations, and it looks like we'll be able to get only one. On the mail part, I've already talked about this in the previous, that we hope to have 4 by the end of end of March. 2 are already on our side. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the SAT engagement strategy, so we hope to be able to achieve that. The Antarctic and Marine, as I said, this has some delays because of our stakeholder engagement that we need to have. I think the past basic science is conceptual framework should be done by the end of the quarter. This is the work which we are doing where the science community is worried that we don't have a framework for supporting basic sciences. And they are worried that maybe the work of the department is moving towards the innovation space and at the expense of the basic sciences. So we want to develop a framework that we will all use in terms of how we support the basic sciences so that there is a level of certainty that we will continue to fund basic sciences. I'm happy to report that this IKS bill was approved by Cabinet a couple of weeks ago for public engagement because we would like to develop this bill that deal with the issues of benefit sharing, access, and of course this committee will be fully involved in the process of consultation, so we'll be coming to present the bill to yourselves. These are targets that we think we'll be able to achieve in the administration domain. We've already met some of them in the communication area. We think we are on course on meeting the planning targets. There are some improvements have been made in terms of trying to pay 100% of the suppliers that support adequate information within 5 days. And then in program two, we had already talked about the world property wives at school, and then in the innovation priorities, most of you had the opportunity to be invited, maybe not all of you, at the innovation brief that we had recently, where we showcased more than approximately 91 innovations that are at different stages of being commercialized. We think this was a success. In fact, we had intended that this event would be every 2 years, but there is a huge interest in the community that we should have it every year. We still think we should resist the temptation to have the team, because you will run very quickly the risk that you may not have new innovations that you show, but we still think 2 years is reasonable. This is just the status of reports that we are receiving, and we are tracking with our colleagues from NIPMO, and then the project related to key objectives of the bioeconomy strategy were approved and contracts developed for pre-breeding in some of these areas. We had a space week that was celebrated in the Eastern Cape, and then exhibitions were presented by different space science organizations. As you know, the celebration of the Space Week around October, we moved from one province to the other. Chair, this has nothing to do with the fact that you are the chair. You just happened to be in the Eastern Cape last year. This year to be in another province. And then we are again continuing with developing prototypes for the hydrogen and fuel cell work. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Chair, you had the opportunity to visit UWC just to see some of the work that they're doing, and we are excited about the fact that how the fuel cells powering the reserve when we get into UWC, and they're collecting a lot of data around this, and there's some work with fuel cell forklift with our own metal hydrogen storage tank that expand the range of this forklift is being implemented in partnership with some of the mining industry. Again, the oversight instruments we think we are fine. The inputs for disseminating the work that we do, we think we are on course. In terms of the publications in key strategic areas, we've already achieved that. In program three, we had the participation of the Minister in the Science and Technology Science Forum. Again, you can get a sense of the leaders that go to this. This is held in Japan every year around about October, and it's becoming, as they say, a double time meeting for science and technology. And then we had consultations to review current and plan new STI partnership with established partners that are shown there. And then, of course, we have been involved in a range of programs with the support of the Department of International Relations and cooperation on some of the continent-wide fora for promoting science and technology. We continue to provide support to a number of science technology innovation flagship initiatives of the NEPAD, and we give examples there. And then, of course, we continue to strengthen bilateral agreements in the rest of the continent. The minister had an opportunity to visit Ethiopia and Sudan to conclude science technology cooperation agreements with these countries. In fact, I think that we are going to be receiving the Minister of Sudan and South Africa to deepen the bilateral relationship. In program three, we launched the South African Sanitation Technology Demonstration Program in partnership with the Melinda Gates Foundation. This is a partnership that we are extremely delighted about, where we are investing with the department in developing a mechanism of how you can select from a range of alternative sanitation technologies, the ones that are appropriate for South Africa. And then we have partnered with the World Water Research Commission to develop this work, again in support of the municipalities. What we were informed recently is that a number of municipalities decide to enter into partnership with vendors on sanitation technologies, and nobody advises them of the risks associated with some of these. So this is an area, again, where we'll be working closely with municipalities. I have mentioned the imminent launch of this Center for Broadband Technologies at the University of Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, where there's a co-investment between South Africa and Cisco on exploiting the data that comes from SKA and developing the infrastructure for the transportation of long data from using light. And then again, we continue to have a very good relationship with our EU partners. And we had a high level engagement to look at where we want to take this collaboration. Happened in December last year. These are targets that have been achieved. These are targets that we think we are on course in meeting. Regional and continental engagements within the rest of the continent, as I've said, I'm talking about Ethiopia and Sudan. The number of South African researchers, students that are participating in a number of international engagements, 204, we hope that we will meet the target. And then under program 4, we had a workshop on the 4th and the 5th to look at ensuring that we equip the indigenous knowledge system implementation center coordinators with the right skills to manage this. We have talked about the second meerkat dish and reflector that is now already on site. And then through the comprehensive SRF for program 4, these are the number of students that we continue to fund. One of the questions that this committee has been asking us is the tracking study to establish the reasons for why we are not having the right number of postgraduate students. I'm told that the preliminary report of this work is on the way. We commissioned CREST here at Stellenbosch to do this study. Again, we'll be able to share with the portfolio committee the reasons for why we're not able to attract students at a postgraduate level so we can put the right remedial action. I have talked about the astronomy fundamental analysis, and again, we'll share this with you at an appropriate time. 400 million for human capital for the next generation of researchers. We have agreed with the NRF on how the framework for distributing these funds will be like, and this has already been approved by ourselves as the executive committee. The idea here was that not only should you fund veterans for basic sciences, but you also need to be funding students that will go into industry, and therefore how do you make sure that you have the right balance between basic sciences, postgraduate students that are following careers in pure science, and other areas of applied technology research and innovation. Again, you're getting a sense that we are getting closer and closer to the targets of the students that we support, and then closer and closer to the number of infrastructure grants that are awarded to researchers. The researchers that are awarded, we are on course, and then the implementation of the promotion and engagement strategy, we think we should be very close to meeting the target. And then at program 5, we had initiated a research, development, and innovation roadmap on water with the CSIR. So this has now been finalized, and we made some suggestions, few suggestions on really how this would be managed over time. So we are extremely delighted about this because it's going to help us to coordinate activities in water, which we do have many small initiatives, but we'd like to have a framework within which we pursue this work. We had a call, an open call, which was evaluated by the Composite Industry for Impact and Relevance. As you know, that we have been funding the Biocomposites Initiative for quite some time. In reviewing this, we've been informed that the best way to move forward is perhaps
to be less on fiber composite but on fiber composites, and therefore we'll be looking at this collaborative fiber composite research, development and innovation program where we think that we'll have substantial impact on the competitiveness of firms that are in the composite industry for a number of applications, whether it's in the building industry, shipbuilding industry or automotive industry. We hope that we are on course in having decision systems that are introduced in some of the municipalities, as I talked about earlier on. Some instruments have already been funded and supported for localization and been achieved. Again, the budget split doesn't change significantly from what we presented before, and we were around 73% by the end of the third quarter. This is the Harvest Ampere program. And again, we commit to try and make sure that we meet the objectives of the target. So, Chair, I think I'd like to thank you and the committee for patience and listening to foreign voice, and then I've got the exec to answer the questions. I'm not sure whether you want us to ask you to talk about what I said earlier on about how we manage the red targets, the green targets, and why we sometimes. But it's a future, whether you want to take that now or whether you want to take it later. Thank you very much.
Maybe if you just allow David to write a bit, and then when the questions come, he will come with his knowledge. He and women are great friends of mine. The ones who tend to make me a business person, and that thank you. I saw them differently, but they were talking the same language that you should be a business person and keep helping. Because it doesn't sound good. Thank you very much, Dr. Finn. I also wonder whether Uliana should not be paid by us, because I can see he's the one who's helping you with the computers here. and these are parliamentary. Because we're going to give you some payment, I want to negotiate that. So since, you know, you should have brought it, but we're still on the party. You know, Ben is giving us, and he's one of those people that has done a lot of discipline, but I don't think he's leaving very soon. So we still have time to talk to him. He's contributed quite a lot. Remember, that is the work that has been done by development in quarter two and quarter three. So now it's up to you as the oversight structure to say, really, really, they need more money or not. Haven't looked at what they've done. So that's it. You know, when you talk about Eastern Cape, I always get rid of an alliance with Limpopo and Northern Cape, because we're all rural, we work very hard, so we've got that alliance. But I'm not saying that Eastern Cape, when you're that speech is weak. The person who took the limelight there was Umateko. Umateko was there. As in the community, that the ministers of Master, I went there, but I arrived, as you know, in the Eastern Cape, it's either the roads are bad, or when you get to a plane, you always get one plane a day or one day in the week. That's how I was late in that conference. So, but I think the important thing here, you might think that you're taking it to the rural areas, like your Ndabagas, commercial, whatever that you're doing there, which has been, you might think that you're just taking it, but there's another bigger picture. That when you take these things to the rural area, people get a lot closer to the MSA, and then we stop the exodus of people going to Gauteng, wanting to get good health services and other. They stay there and they don't reset, but it might not be evident at the beginning. But later on, it's going to become evident. We're trying to encourage you that make sure that some of these industries that are coming up, working with DDI and economic development, they should be at those areas, especially that we've got electricity, we've got water in the rural areas. The thing that is still problematic, which I'm sure the government is trying to sort out, is the infrastructure, the roads. You need to be able to take your whatever that you produce to the nearest airport so that you can all over the world. so that there's a bigger picture here that is coming out of this. And obviously the human resource becomes important to refer some of those cases, staying in those areas and making young kids at schools to understand that science, it's a myth to say science is very difficult to do. It's something that you can do and change. So thank you very much. I don't think we're going to be very good members, but that is for you to engage the department. It's not for me to talk about. Umbone and Lord David are here to other questions which are too difficult for rotation.
No, thanks, Chair. I wanted to ask that maybe the two gentlemen can refresh to the changes that took place from the red to back to the red, because you know, sometimes it might not be advisable to ask a question on that. Yes, there is already an explanation just as the DG didn't go into details, but probably they can further explanation on that. It might be very helpful. But generally, from my own point of view, I commend the department for the efforts they made in performing to the level that they did. Yes, the constraints in areas where they didn't do 100%, generally. But what they have achieved is also commendable. Thank you, Chair.
I don't think if we need a second to that, but let us wait for the other person. But I think the point is trying to say that the most brilliant are about the visitant from one in the field.
Okay. I think it's what Honorable Matale said on giving flash. I just wanted to find out on slide 19 of the third quarter, why is the, the seven innovation support interventions developed, it is red, but it's classified as moderate risk, and the yellow is also moderate risk. It's supposed to be certain. No. In the second slide 19.
Thanks, DG. Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. the DG has pretty much given an overview of the reasons for the non-achievement of some of the targets. What we are currently doing, which is what your vision instructed us to do, is to make sure that we get more regular updates of the ones that are still at moderate risk, as well as the ones that are on course, so that we can update. But the programs are now also providing us with accelerated measures of what they'll be doing to speed up delivery in the areas that are still selected as moderate. What we did after we had a look at this third quarter report also was that we compared it with the previous year's report of the third quarter, just to see if the risk this year is higher than it may have been in the previous financial year. And we found that the risk is probably just about the same, which means therefore that we are probably still looking at about 70%, 8% achievement. But what we are currently doing, Honorable Members, is that we are beginning to generate more regular reports to get more concrete commitments from the people that are responsible for the individual targets to ensure that by the end of the year, most of them will already be achieved. Thank you.
We went to the
honourable members. I think the problem that she has alluded to earlier was on the how this was wrongly captured, because there was an intervention place to make sure that the target get met, and that process is now showing us that this particular indicator in terms of performance management is going to be salvaged. So at that time, we should actually not have indicated as said. It's not a lost cause. The ones that are lost, we've accordingly indicated, which I think well explained. I also just want to add to the point that David made regarding how this is now being managed in terms of just making sure that at least even on a routine basis, the drivers of specific targets actually are aware of how they are performing towards the finish line. And this is important because sometimes even for those that change the information, because the reporting is almost at the same time as our agencies, you find that we are not able to finalize and verify the information on time. So when you ultimately verify, you realize that you have actually crucified yourself while you are actually on call. So that is why some of them have actually changed. But we are also working on how best we can actually simultaneously try and verify at the same time as the entities are reporting. So those are basically my input, the two words, and the rest to level, and also the process of making sure that we remain on course for into the finish.
Just to explain, the reason why we mistakenly had words was because when the unit that was capturing these, when it was not meant for the border, then they put it as red, when in actual fact the color should be made for the entire year, not for that particular border. So it was not meant for this particular border, and then instead of putting red, they put it as in both cases, that's what we picked up. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, I just want to find out on the targets, and that have not been achieved. Will they be achieved by the end of the fourth quarter? And if not, what are the measures that will be put in place, or what would be the main reason that would cause that also by the end of the fourth quarter? But I can see they are within the scope of the AG. And lastly, I just wanted on the cosmeceuticals, the consortium of Kundabanas, the Eastern Cape, are you also looking at the mission? See, I'm talking on behalf of the rural. The mission village, because it's one of those comprehensive rural development programs by the president. And I know that they also have those plants that are medicinal, and they started making perfumes, and I think they started exporting also that perfume.
Yes, but the evil for recognizing us. You know, the people who don't have money don't get recognized. So we get recognized by the economic hub of South Africa. So thank you very much for recognizing us at 10,000. Okay. But by the way, you must remember that we were left with 1 month to the last quarter.
And so I'll ask Moleni to... We have a program on medicinal plants. I don't remember. I think there's a site in the Eastern Cape around Kwanobuhle. I think there's one in Limpopo, but I'm not so sure whether it's in the Nguache area. But there are two programs. The one is on the use of amarula for cosmetics, and the other one is on medicinal plants. So I would be lying, but it's closer to the IKS program that we're trying to commercialize. Maybe you will know the details much more. And this slide, Honorable Morello, tries to say that we have achieved 15%. We are definitely sure at 56, so that takes us to about
71, so we just need to manage approximately 8 of the 76%, so that's when we are tightly to the 80% that we have. And as Moneni says, we are now doing it on a weekly basis to make sure that the things that can really be achieved, which are administrative, we then prioritize them for the meetings that are coming in the next couple of weeks. Moneni,
yes. The next one, I don't have it on my radar, but I just think it's more interesting, the approach that we use, which is why sometimes this takes a little bit of time. Because of the fear of getting the knowledge stolen and getting the people exploited, we've been working very closely with the Department of Environmental Affairs. Firstly, by identifying the communities who are knowledge holders. And then when we've got them properly identified, then to work with the Department of Environmental Affairs to establish the community trust where all the proceeds of their knowledge can actually go into, and then that can be used to benefit the communities, etc. That is part to us now. Sign whatever contract that may be signed with the buyers. So that was quite a significant milestone in the Eastern Cape when we ultimately fast-tracked this process. There are a number of those that are coming up in the communities in Limpopo and some in Gauteng, where as soon as you have identified them, you then begin the process of establishing the commercial sites where through technology you assist in terms of the planting of the plants where they need to be planted, the harvesting specific technologies, and the agro processing. So in that regard, you are able to create employment for the communities and also ensure that whoever wants to share their knowledge actually sign contracts that will benefit the communities. So the initial one, I would probably just follow up because it could be that we've been supporting it, but we haven't reached a stage where we can be able to make specific pronouncements, maybe because certain contracts might not be in place. So there's a lot of facilities around how you manage IP from the IKS point of view.
Thanks, Chair. I think we didn't answer one of your questions. What happens to the rates that we ever achieve? There are two things that we're trying to do. We're trying to draw the lessons learned in the formulation of both the targets and the indicator. Last year, for instance, we learned that our, when it was still new in this program, is that there are targets that we had received, because some of our targets are linked to the entities that report to the ministry. We found that some of the targets that were set by one of our entities, we accepted them without interrogating them and making sure that what they're presenting to us has been stress tested, a sense of what are the risks associated with these targets, have you looked at those risks and what are the strategies to mitigate them. So that was one of the lessons. The second lesson is just the unrealistic formulation of targets. Sometimes because it's an uncharted territory, we haven't really gone through the full scale. For instance, the NRF now, we more or less know, you know, the process of when you've from the students to the time when you have to get the information for the students. So others are relatively new, but I think the lessons that David has to capture as part of the owner of this program is to have that knowledge so that they can advise the program to formulate that. If it's something completely new that you haven't pressed, don't help us test the target at the beginning, not because you want to cheat, but just because, you know, you want, yes, because you want to put in something that you will not be. And then maybe overall as a department, whilst there will be those new targets and indicators, the balance of the portfolio should be such that those that are new perhaps should be measured at a smaller scale and time than the other ones when we are familiar with how we manage and track those targets and indicators. And then I think this point of working closely with the rural development, I think we take note of that. You will be delighted when you see the presentation and the strategy around how some of our work is really trying to work closely with rural development. But I think there is room to do what you're saying, Chair, that as these things are commercialized, keep them in the areas where you create more jobs and make sure that people live in those areas benefit from this. I think this is the work which came clear when we were engaging with the select committee, because they said their focus is not on the broad national issues but on some of the things that are related to provinces. So we are committed to even at the next interaction with them to look at programs in the geographic spread of South Africa and begin. So they will be keeping us honest on this on your behalf, Chair. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I don't think we will have a lot of questions, and I'm sure we will to finish early today because it's our first day in 2015. So maybe we need to finish early. But there are certain things that probably I wanted to mention. Nothing has from the numbers. You know, much as it is important what we are talking about, especially when it comes to some of the industries going into rural areas. I think we've got few challenges that we will work on, especially as ourselves as politicians. You know, our value system has changed. It does not look at the broader picture in trying to develop the people, but will always become selfish and individualistic. As a result, if something comes up in the rural areas, I'm sure this is what you are going to find, or this is what you have found. You find that if there's something that has been discovered as an innovation in the rural area, everybody wants to come in as an individual, but under the group that I'm coming with people, and they start fighting within themselves. And then to find the chief coming in, or the Simona coming in, and there's a lot of promotion, and the department fails to achieve what it wants to achieve because of the fact that that does not get mentioned as to why it's happening. And the second challenge, I think it's this, the development's working. I think it's something that we need to work very hard in. Well, even that one, it goes back to politicians, that I usually, when we go in there, you tell yourself that I've got 5 years, and I want my legacy to appear in that 5 years, forgetting that you're not working for yourself, you're working for the communities. What you do, even if you don't achieve anything, but as long as there's something that you've done, and somebody who comes in after you takes over. But we end up working as individuals, not integrated with development. Even politicians themselves, they do that approach. So you find it really difficult that somebody comes with an innovation. Now, when that has been confirmed by the department or something like that, it is called, it can be a benefit to the economy of the country. Then they get a stumbling block in DTI, they get a stumbling block in economic development, because somebody doesn't see something good and it takes some time. Yet it is not for that particular person, that development, it is for the communities to do this thing. I think we need to find this good working relationship. I know situations where somebody comes up with a good idea. Now they can't get funding from KKI for economic development because somebody doesn't understand. Sometimes it's not even the politician, but it's the individuals within the development, or in a way they try to steal the idea and give it to somebody else because their value is not about the human development, it's about developing himself or herself at the expense of the other person's innovation. These are some of the challenges that we want to work around and make sure that our value systems as human beings should change. We should always understand that it's about our people and our country first, and all the other things follow. Even if I die having nothing, but having done something for my country, it's the most important, for humanity, it's the most important thing. And that brings another point, that I think the mistake that we did before 1984 was to let innovations to go on with less than 10 million human resources, leaving the whole 40 million people not being involved in human development or in innovation. Yet innovations are the pillars of the economy of the country. I mean, you've mentioned two countries that I always mention that I'm not sure if I'm right, but I think Korea, South Korea, doesn't have minerals, doesn't have oil. It depends on innovations that are coming from the people there. Even Taiwan is the same thing. They don't have a lot of minerals. In fact, I was surprised when I went there. They don't even have a lion there. In their tourism, you can't see a lion there. I went there, I didn't even see a snake. So there's no tourist attraction there. But they've got such a good economy. I'm not sure if it's really good, but they've got a good economy, and it's all about innovation. Now, we made a mistake ourselves. The people were coming to innovation to us. 10 million. That's a population that is close to 50 million. Now we've got to say the whole 50 million must be involved in innovation, and you will see the economy of the country going up. So it's our challenge as development of science and technology that we should open up a space so that innovation can come from every direction, and that will boost our economy. Not forgetting that those who were having the monopoly of the inaccess because of the innovation are not going to be happy when they get competition from those who are not involved. But we need to find a way. We don't want to push anybody out, but we need to work together because this is our country, and we need to nurture it and make sure that it benefits everybody, be it white, be it black, be it female, be it male, be it young, be it old, whatever. I was very impressed with what you did at the which I was supposed to go to, but because I'm staying in rural area, I had to fly up because there's only one plane that goes like that. The one that you had in Cape Town, where it was about SKA, and it was very good. There were people from New Zealand, and there were people from Australia. Now it was time to connect our belief, as people who are illiterate, time to connect them with what we think we're trying to know. That was really good, because it was actually putting everybody in South Africa, which has never happened before. I listened to it, and I was quite impressed. So we'll keep up the good work, and I'm not sure whether members have got any other questions. If not, maybe we'll call it a day so that you can go and keep up with the budget of the base and see whether the budget is going to be associated. It's the maiden budget for men. Let's hope you go to try it better under the economic, the world economic guidance that we have.
The new medicinal ones in partner with Taiwan. Do you also have relationship with China, especially in the Tianjin?
Yes, there's a program between the high gas program and the Chinese on their traditional medicine and what they have done, filling out the package and how you get the community to work with this. We can find that information for you. I think our colleague at the international brothers who travel and should have the details which we can provide.
Okay, but in the sense, it is important to consider our medical aid to consider it, not in the need for alternative medicine.
It's just an emergency, especially as it's Taiwan and China. I found out that the close relatives, those in Taiwan, are expecting to say that those are very strong. But I don't want to put the little differences. For my even the Chinese, even the one, I think that time the political leader in Taiwan was born in China. And I was actually shown some of the things that during the time of Japan and China, some of the things that were in China were hidden in Taiwan because they are part of the family. So they are traditional methods of the Indian knowledge. It's just the same. Okay, thank you very much. If there are no questions, thank you very much, members. Just go and I think most of